On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. I'm so grateful you're joining us here today. You might be listening here in the Seattle area on 1150 AM KKNW or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. You might be listening after the fact on ChristineUpchurch.com or one of the many places that the podcast ends up. But wherever and whenever you're listening from today, I'm grateful you're here, and you're going to be grateful too, because I have one of my favorite guests here today. But before I tell you who that is, I love to always leave you with a teaser here. I want to say hello to the man who does his technological magic so that you can hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hey there. How's it going?
It's going well. We have sunshine in October in Seattle. And so I'm a happy camper.
Wait, we do? You do? I don't.
I do.
We're socked in.
Really?
Yes. Oh. It's thick as pea soup, as you'd like to say it.
Interesting. So, you know, I'm just like a few miles away. That's fascinating. Well, you know,
the sun is shining
upon us today because of our wonderful guest.
Mm-hmm.
And our guest today has been on the show a couple of other times. And his name is Robert Moss. He is a novelist, a poet, an independent scholar. He's the creator of Active Dreaming, which is an original synthesis of dream work and shamanism, which is fascinating. He's the author of many, many books, and I've read several of them, love them all. And his latest book is called Mysterious Realities. And the books are on dreaming, shamanism, imagination, and synchronicity. He leads creative and shamanic adventures all over the world. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Robert Moss. Hey, Robert.
Wonderful to be dreaming with you, Christine. Always good to be with you.
And it's so nice to have you back. And, you know, Robert, you've been on the show several times. I've been to your presentation. I've had the honor of being on your show. I follow you closely on Facebook. And I have to tell you that you live one of the most fascinating lives. And it's not just about the places that you go in terms of, you know, where you teach, which is wonderful in and of its own right, but there's the way you approach life, which makes it so fascinating. What is it that you do that is so different from so many people?
Well, we're all magnets in one way or another, aren't we? I mean, synchronicity,
yes.
Meaningful coincidence, blocks around us depending on what we're open to. I mean, we attract or repel different things according to the energy, the interests, the passions, the feelings we carry. One of the feelings I carry always is that I love stories. I'm a storyteller, and I love watching other people awaken to the bigger stories of their life. So wherever I travel, I'm open to the stories that the world will give me, that strangers will give me on an airplane or on a trip somewhere. And this is magnetic. Can I tell you any, give you a recent example?
Yeah, please, yes.
So, you know, I fly around the world a lot. I fly teaching all sorts of funny places all over the world map. And on a recent occasion, I'm flying back home from somewhere, and I actually say when I arrive at the airport, I don't need a new story today because, you know, good stories are often facilitated by screw-up. Things go wrong and a story comes through. You're on the wrong plane. You've missed your connection. I just actually want a smooth ride home that day. I'm feeling a bit tired. But here I am at lunchtime. I go to the airport pub. I'm in Australia, and I'll have a beer when I can. And I sit down, and the guy next to me looks at me, and he says, "You look like a guy who would like to hear a good story." And I look at him. I've said, "No news stories. I'm about to receive one." And he introduces himself. He's a former cop. He's a former detective from the East Bay area, which is already interesting. He says, "Robert, he's got my name now. I have to tell you, I was in a cemetery this week," and I'm looking at him closely, because I've never been in the cemetery before. I know nothing about it. And I'm thinking about a girl I loved and lost 30 years ago, he says, and I'm looking at him, and he says, and I look down, he says, and I see a headstone, and her full name is on it, and under it is her death date, I think this can't be the same woman I'm thinking about, because as far as I know, she's never in this part of the world. But he makes some calls. He finds out the girl he was thinking about is buried at that plot under that headstone in that graveyard. And he says, what do you think of that? I say, it's a great story. It is a great story. It feeds all sorts of ideas about relations between the living and the dead. But above all, in terms of our conversation, it's an example of how we draw to ourselves what we're passionate about. I'm passionate about stories. So what keeps me going in life is the stories that come flocking around me.
Uh-huh. And I'm fascinated by what you said at the beginning of this, and that was that the best stories often come about through things going wrong. And that's why you were saying you didn't need a story today. What do you just say about things going differently than expected that can create an interesting story?
Well, my antenna always start quivering when something is mixed up in a trip, for example. I'm in the wrong seat. I've missed the connection. I'm on the wrong plane. What is going to come up now? I'll meet somebody I wouldn't have met otherwise. And in fact, I'm so extroverted when traveling. I'm an introvert in other ways. When I'm traveling, I'm very open to talking to strangers because it's a sort of safe environment on a plane or a train. But I'll turn to someone when I've been, you know, put in a different seat on a different plane. I'll say, you must have a story for me because I'm sitting in the wrong seat. Or alternatively, because they've had to change seats, you must have a story because you're in the wrong seat. And it always works out in the most fascinating ways. So you asked, you know, how do you survive and how do you prosper under various circumstances? Well, the way I survive and prosper with my crazy constant travel schedule is I'm on the lookout for stories. And, of course, the new book, which you mentioned, Mysterious Realities, is a book of stories about travels in this world and other worlds where interesting things are happening that reflect the fact that our lives in ordinary reality are related to lives and situations that are going on somewhere else. We are multidimensional beings. Most of us are often clueless about the fact that we're connected to other stories, parallel lives, other realities, other agendas of meaning. But, you know, there are moments when you can't miss it because synchronicity strikes that special moment, a meaningful coincidence or something comes to you in a dream where you find yourself traveling somewhere else. And then you come awake and alive to the fact that life is about more than the obvious, that there are, you know, connections, a secret order of events, beyond ordinary understanding. And at that moment, when you wake up to that, Christine, as I think you know, a sort of champagne fizz of excitement and magic comes into your life because you come alive and awake to that deeper order of meaning.
And Robert, do you think when we become aware of this that more magic occurs, or do you think it's always happening and we're just not paying attention?
Yes, it comes when you are open and available. I mean, some people say to you, oh my God, Robert, you're telling me these stories of synchronicity and chance encounters. Why isn't my life like that? I say, well, let's look at where you are open and where you are not open to new experience and whether you're available when something interesting starts to happen. I think you and I talked about a word I coined in a previous book, chiromancy, which is the art of being awake and alert to the kairos moments of opportunity, the special moments of synchronicity when time and the world seem to be operating differently and you feel that a hidden hand is becoming partly revealed because, you know, something from beyond the ordinary order of events is coming through and changing things in your life. If you're closed to that kind of thing, if you're always on schedule, you're always looking at your book of appointments, you're always trying to fit in with what other people tell you you're doing, you might be missing out on a lot of that. I mean, part of the condition for coming awake and alive to this is that you are open to new experience and you'll notice the world around you, the world in this reality as well as in dreams, with a freshness and a sense of excitement.
Yeah, and I love this concept of being open because I think that we have this concept that we, you know, many people have this concept that we don't get messages, that it's like this linear reality when in fact we're being bombarded with them when we open our eyes to it.
Absolutely. I mean, the Aborigines, the Indigenous people of my native Australia, say we live in a speaking land. They say the mountain is speaking, the river is speaking, the kangaroo is speaking, the bird is speaking. And that's true in our modern urban lives, too. I mean, everything is speaking and alive. The bumper sticker on that car is speaking to you. The kid drawing on the sidewalk, that overheard snatch of conversation. All of these are messages from a living, animate, conscious universe, if you're open to them. So the book Mysterious Realities is not just about adventures in dreamland. It's about adventures in ordinary reality and you're alive and awake to the deeper order of connection.
You have a perspective on our dream reality, that the way most people interpret dreams. What do you think our dream life when we're sleeping is all about?
Well, we have dreams in many ways, or dreams have us in many ways. You say we have a dream, but sometimes a dream has us in the sense that we're seized by something, it takes us off somewhere. I mean, there's small dreams and big dreams. Dreams are not the same. We don't all dream in the same style. Some dreams are routine processing of what went on the day before. Some dreams are commentaries on how we set our body, or pictures of what's going on inside the body. I mean, they're diagnostic dreams in which the body is talking, basically, showing us what's going on. The kind of dream experiences that I'm writing about in the new book are experiences of dream travel. By that, I mean that in some dreams, we seem, I believe that we do, travel beyond the body and the brain into other orders of reality. We travel to past times and future times. We travel into parallel situations. We're leading a continuous life amongst other people, not exactly the same as our present life. We travel to realms with the dead or alive, and we travel to other places of instruction, adventure, healing, and opportunity. So in dreams, we go beyond the curtain walls of our ordinary understanding, our consensual hallucinations. We get out there. I mean, in some dreams, we do that. When I first started dreaming in the Mohawk Indian language of a woman of power who lived a long time ago who wanted to talk to me, and I discussed my dreams with an elder of that tradition, of the tradition of the Confederacy of the Longhouse, or the Iroquois, he said to me, very matter-of-fact, oh, yeah, you had made some visits and you received some visitations. There's the old understanding, ancient and indigenous understanding. In dreams, we get out there, we make visits, and we also receive visitations from other beings, other dreamers, from the ancestors, from the spirits, etc. And I'm old age enough, Paleolithic enough, to think that that's actually a correct representation of what's going on in some of the most interesting dreams that we experience.
Yeah. We want to hear more about these dreams and how we can take our dreams and turn them into an adventure in life. Stay tuned for more with Robert Moss here in just a few moments.
Stars shining bright above you. Night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree. Dream a little dream of me.
Are you ready to shift gears from spiritual seeker to spiritual rock star? Let Nova Whiteman be your aligning force that will help you navigate the ups and downs of this human experience. Tune in to Spiritual Alignment Radio with Nova Whiteman every second Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit NovaWhiteman.com. That's NovaWhiteman.com.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, How did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Miss me while I'm alone and blue as can be. Dream a little dream.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Robert Moss, and he's the author of many, many books, wonderful books. And his most recent book is called Mysterious Realities, A Dream Traveler's Tale from the Imaginal Realm. Now, Robert, you talk about the fascinating reality of where we go in our sleeping dreams, so to speak. How does a person become aware of that? I mean, there are a lot of people out there who say, you know what, I don't remember my dreams. I'm, you know, I must dream. I don't know if I dream, but it's, you know, how do I become aware and how do I play in this realm?
Well, it's a very good question. And by the way, the dream drought in modern society is almost pandemic. I mean, many people have no connection with their dreams. They may understand that they dream, but they don't remember. They have no regular relationship. In ancient and indigenous cultures, this is considered to be a very serious health condition because if you're not in touch with your dreams, they say, traditionally, you're missing out on the world of spirit. You're missing out on your direct line of revelation of a deeper and wiser source than the ordinary mind, and you might be bereft of your dreams because you've lost a part of your soul that is the beautiful, bright dreamer. That might be the effect of what shamans call soul loss. You know, that beautiful girl dreamer went missing in early in life because of bad stuff or because you're scared by nightmares. She's not with you, and that's why you're missing your dreams. Leaving that aside for a moment, that's rather scary. There's a story in my book, Mysterious Realities, which is very scary indeed, called Dream Takers, about what it means when a whole society is starting to lose its dreams. But leaving that aside, you know, there are ways of connecting. And this material is actually available to all of us if we'll make some time and devote a little bit of attention, not even effort, really, to reconnecting with our dreams. I mean, it starts with giving yourself some time, before you've got to get out of bed in the morning and considering whether there's something with you, whether you think there is or not. There might be a fragment. There might be a floater. There might be a risk from the night. Don't throw that away. Setting a juicy intention for the night. Spending some time in the in-between state, the twilight zone between sleep and awake, which we tend to hurry through, or we're cursing ourselves in the middle of the night because we're not asleep and we need our Z's, instead of realizing that when you're in the drifty state between sleep and awake, you're in prime time in terms of getting dreamlike images and even embarking on lucid dream adventures. And one thing you can always do, even if you're getting nothing from the night, is you can wake up to the fact that the world around you is speaking to you in the manner of a dream if you'll just be open and available. We've talked about synchronicity, the signs and symbolic pop-ups in the world around you. You can read the life around you, you know, as a set of dream symbols if you're poised and ready to do that. And that can open up the dreams of the night. When you start paying attention to synchronicity and special moments in waking life, sometimes you open the spigots and the dreams of the night start coming through as well.
Well, I know that I personally have experienced profound information within my dreams, but whether it was, you know, diagnosing the early stages of cancer or exposing me to this concept of parallel realities before I knew anything about it, you know, seeing myself living, you know, as Christine Upchurch in another life, and it's this fascinating adventure if we can open to it. And I know for myself, if I'm not getting enough sleep, sometimes I'm not. I'm not remembering my dreams as much. But if I'll take a nap in the afternoon, say, all of a sudden I will recognize that I'm dreaming and can get more involved in them and through my awareness and through a little lucid dreaming. Is there anything about sleep patterns that can contribute to this?
Well, I'm greatly in favor of naps, Christine. I take a nap wherever I can. Of course, I travel, and sleep-wake patterns are quite unusual. But, you know, like our ancestors who didn't expect to sleep in one block of sleep, they expected to sleep in two or more rounds of sleep and be awake in the middle of the night and maybe tell someone who's ready to hear the dream that they had in the first cycle of sleep. I tend to sleep in, you know, several periods in the course of 24 hours. Sometimes a very short nap can produce a dream experience, or even if you don't remember the dream, it can produce a sense of orientation and solution. I mean, that might be the gift,
right. Even
if you don't have the dream. So I think that actually, I wouldn't suggest that people interrupt their regular sleep cycle and end up restless and sleep deprived. But actually, if you are a more irregular sleeper in terms of sleeping in two or more periods in the course of the day, you might have a better shot at bringing more through from the dream night. But you already took us deep in your way, because you're deep into these things, I think, into two of the aspects of dreaming which are vitally important. You talked about dreams of diagnosis, dreams of preparing you for a crisis of illness. Dreams do that. Dreams are body talk as well as soul talk. They show us what's going on inside the body. They prepare us for things the body might be going through, and sometimes it gives us ways of heading off symptoms and medical events that might come about. You also talked about connecting with other realities, and one of the most fascinating to me, where I spend a lot of my time and research these days, is the reality of the parallel lives we are leading in the many worlds. You and I have talked before about the thesis in science that we're living right now in many worlds, in uncountable parallel universes, where our parallel selves are doing different things. And the fascinating thing is to become more conscious of this, look at what your parallel self is up to, and maybe even borrow some gifts and connections from that parallel self. Recently, I've been looking at the possibility, Christine, this is beyond what we've talked about before, of sitting down and having a dialogue with the parallel self and seeing whether you can actually do something for each other. And I've seen fantastic results, both for myself and for other people who've been following this practice. Now, we're talking about conscious dreaming now, not just talking about lying down and letting things happen. We're talking about taking the clues and the leads we're giving, that we're given in our night dreams, and then doing something consciously and actively about them, like making a journey to meet a parallel self, sit down for lunch, have a cup of tea, have a conversation about what you can do for each other. The results can be very, very interesting.
So can you give us an example of a result from that interaction?
Okay, I will. I could give an example from my own life, but I think I'd like to give you one from a woman's life, a woman who's become a very good writer, but rather late in life. I mean, well, she's in her 50s, which isn't that old, but she's only recently started writing books and on her way to publication. And she decided she'd like to talk to a parallel self who did not listen to the teachers and the parents when they told her in school, you got to major in science, don't major in English. People who major in English don't get a job. So in her ordinary life, in her default reality, she majored in science, didn't like it, and spent decades before she actually started writing and is now on her way to publication. She decided she'd like to write to the alternate self who stood up to the parents and the teachers, majored in English, started publishing early, and has been writing successfully for many years. So she pictured them sitting down together, having tea in a cafe, and making a deal. The writer self agreed that she would slip some pages and some connections to the present self in return for narratives and stories from the present self, who is a fantastically successful lucid dreamer and shamanic journeyer. So the deal is that the present self will trade the stories from her dreaming and her shamanic journeying to the writer who's been doing well for decades and an alternate reality, and the writer will slip some pages to the present self. How about that? Isn't that a pretty good deal?
I love that they're sharing the benefit of the journey they've taken to you know, the other reality. That is just fascinating. I love that.
And, you know, when you think about it, somebody might say, well, this is all fantasy. Well, I would say, well, maybe so, but what a creative fantasy, since it is leading to creative production. It's leading to results. It's given energy and joy and juice to the life activity and the writing of the current self in her present reality. So even if you think it's fantasy, it's kind of fantasy that delivers. It gives you takeaway.
Right. And I know that when I had experienced one of my parallel lives of still living in Lincoln, Nebraska, never having moved to Massachusetts when I was 15, I had been experiencing grief at one point about having left left my brothers behind because they were in college. It was like a difficult time for me. And there was something about Nebraska I was missing. Now, it's not a place I want to go live right now, but there was something, there was like a missing piece in a sense for me. And I was feeling this grief, and I went to process it in normal ways. And finally, I just sort of put it out there like, I need help with this. And I'm driving in my car, and suddenly I feel into and see into this parallel life, and I see how complete her life is and how happy it's been. And I understood from that life that this life was much more expansive. The pain had served me. The obstacles had served me. And so it's like, and we've since shared some things. Like I've shared some wisdom with her. She shared some wisdom with me. And it's this fascinating, you know, whether it's imaginary or not, it feels very real to me.
Yes. Well, that's a fascinating example. Thank you for sharing it. I mean, sometimes the gift of looking in on the parallel life is a sense of closure. You can stop having regrets. You're not living that life because, in a sense, you are somewhere else. And because although there might be great things going on in that life, you're missing things in that life that you have now. So sometimes it leads us, as I say, to move beyond regret to a sense of closure, and then to have the sense that we can borrow what we want from that life, and vice versa.
You know, I'm really curious about your perception of time, but we're going to go to a quick break. When we return, we're going to talk more about mysterious realities and having adventures in the dreamlike adventures in the waking and sleeping world. Stay tuned for more with Robert Moss.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world one listener at a time.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit SarahMaine.com.
Miss any shows during the week?
No!
Don't worry, we've got you covered.
Yahoo!
With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand.
Yes!
Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
on the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I said, fire! What a day, a year, a life it is. You know, well, you know, you had it coming to you. Now there's not a lot I can do.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Robert, I'm always curious about why an author decides to write a book. Now, you've written many, many books, and this one is different. Tell me the story about how this book came about.
Oh, thank you. I'd love to do that. So I was teaching in Berkeley, and I'm walking to dinner after the workshop with my coordinator. I'm talking about three things. I'm talking about Pegasus, the winged horse. I'm talking about how I have a bunch of stories that are almost complete stories is the phrase I use, which I'm thinking of titling Mysterious Realities, which could be a book. They're sort of travelogues to my adventures in dream worlds and in worlds of synchronicity. And I'm talking about the idea that we're living more than one life right now. I'm talking about parallel life. So there's three topics. In the conversation, I'm walking up a hill to dinner. I look across the street, and there's Pegasus, the winged horse, on the front of a bookshop. So I say to my friend, excuse me, I've got to go in there. I'm running across the road. The motorists in Berkeley are pretty soft when it comes to running down pedestrians. They don't do it. So I get across the road unscathed, and I'm standing in at the threshold of the bookshop, and there at eye level on a shelf right in front of me is my surname, Moss, and the title, Almost Complete Poems. It's almost what I said. I said Almost Complete Stories. It's close enough. Okay. And next to that book is another book of poetry titled I Must Be Living Twice, the parallel lives theme. So I've got a trifecta. I've got three matchups all at once with my conversation. So the next day, I'm having lunch with Georgia Hughes, my favorite editor in the world at New World Library. And before the wine is delivered by the waiter, she hits me between the eyes and says, Robert, the next book I want you to do, if you'll do it, is a collection of your stories. Not a how-to book, not a book of meditation, a book of travels that you make in the dream worlds and other worlds. And I said, well, funnily enough, Georgia, that's what I've been thinking about. And I tell her the threefold synchronicity story. So we make a deal, and I've got some almost complete stories to finish, and I write some new ones. And that's how Mysterious Realities came to publication. It's catalyzed, it's facilitated by pure synchronicity and the magic of synchronicity.
So if you had these, and these are based on your dream, does this mean you keep a journal of your dream?
Oh, yes, I've kept a journal for a very long time. It's not just a journal of dreams. It's a journal of everything. I mean, it's a travel journal. I mean, I travel a lot, as you know. I teach in all sorts of places. I teach within 2 kilometers of Dracula's castle in Romania. I get some interesting places, and that is reflected in this book. This book is not only about dream worlds. It's about worlds in this reality where strange things happen. It's about what happens at the ancient city of Ephesus in what is now Turkey, at the sanctuary of the goddess. So my journals are full of my travels in all worlds, not just other worlds, but this world as well, and the play of synchronicity, and, of course, what happens when I get out there and the stories that people bring me. So I've been keeping a journal as dedicated practice for about 40 years now and on and off since I was a teen. And I would say this to you or anybody else, Christine, your journal is the most important book you will ever write. I'll say it again. Your journal is the most important book you will ever write. I say that as the author so far of 25 published books, and I've got some more in me, but I will still say it with passionate seriousness. Your journal is the most important book you will ever write, and it will contain all manner of things. It will be your encyclopedia of symbols, be your starter dough for all sorts of books and stories and creation. So journaling is my daily practice, and I pursue it with fierce dedication.
Do you journal using ink and paper, or do you do it on the computer?
Well, when I'm traveling, I use ink on paper, and there's magic in handwriting. But however, the problem is I can't read my own handwriting anymore. So I have to transcribe my journals pretty quick. So at home, I tend to tap them out on the keyboard. But there is magic, I'll say it again, there's magic in writing by hand. And I write with fountain pens, disposable fountain pens, so I can throw them away if they jam up. So it looks good, even if I can't read it. And in a handwritten journal, I am tempted always to become an artist and do sketches and drawings in the journal as well. And the creator in me and the boy Robert in me, who are part of my creative process, just love me to do the drawings and the pictures. Some pages in my handwritten journal become pages from a graphic novel with panels from a dream or an adventure. And that's really good. That's really juicy. That's really exciting. So anyway, I would say to anybody who wants to write, keep a journal. It's basic essential practice. And I'd say to anybody who wants to grow in consciousness, keep a journal, because it's a place where you dialogue with yourself or your soul. I'd say to anybody who wants to become a good dreamer, keep a journal, because you'll notice over time you've got your personal encyclopedia of symbols. You don't need to look things up in somebody else's book. You'll have your personal evidence that you have precognitive experiences, telepathy, and all the rest of that.
So do you go back and look at your journals from, say, 20 years ago, or is it more about the process of doing it? You do sort of reference them.
Yes. I mean, one of the games I play is what is called bibliomancy, which means divination by the book, and people do it with the Bible or with Rumi or with Homer or whatever. I do it with my journals. I'll open an old journal at random and see what is looking at me. And you know, Christine, I sometimes notice that 11 years ago or 20 years ago even, I'm dreaming something that is only manifesting in my life now. So I have evidence not just of long-range precognition, but of patterns of manifestation. And I'll find in the old dreams some clues to how to navigate life today. And, of course, I'll also find fantastic raw material. I mean, my journal is starter dough for all the books that I write. It's the first draft. It's the first version of the chapters that I will publish eventually in books.
Wow, that's fascinating. So do you find that traveling in this way, as you call it, that you end up interacting with people who have passed away?
Oh, yes. I've been talking to the dead all my life. I'm the boy who died and came back. I think you remember I was pronounced dead when I was 3 years old. And when I came back, the doctor said to my friends, oh, your boy died and he came back. So I've had personal experiences through what are now called near-death experiences, though I still don't necessarily use that tag for what happened to me in boyhood of being on the other side. And maybe that's made me more prone or more open to experiences of contact with people who are living on the side. Many of the stories in Mysterious Realities involve contact with people living on the side. There's a beautiful, playing pushy author for a moment, beautiful story called At the Moon Cafe about a woman who meets her mother on the other side in the lovely cottage environment she's created for herself. That is based, actually, that's not based on my own experience. It's based on the report of people who've worked with me in my workshop.
Sure,
so on, because I not only talk to people who are deceased, I help people to have helpful and timely communication, first-hand contact with people on the other side of death. And this is rather important, because if you know through first-hand experience that there's life beyond death because you've been into those realms or you receive visitations which you can verify and trust, then you tend to live life a bit differently, maybe even with a sense of divine comedy, a sense of sort of cosmic humor, knowing that this life is only one of many. And maybe you approach your choices with a kind of clarity and courage that an intimate relationship with death can give you. Mysterious Reality starts with close-up encounters with death between the author, me, and a personified death in the first chapter, in which basically death is telling the author, you better produce a story that entertains me every day or else, and it ends on the same note. So I have a close relationship with death and a close relationship with people who are living on the other side, and it goes back to my boyhood, and I write and calculate and make choices based on that connection.
So one of the things that I find so fascinating, and I know you address this in a variety of ways, Robert, is time. We have this linear concept of time in our culture. What is time, and what's your perception of it based on your travel?
Well, Einstein told us, to paraphrase, that time is a convenience, not a fundamental reality. Linear time is a convenience. It stops everything happening all at once. I mean, we can step outside linear time. We do it in dreaming any night, whether we're aware of it or not. We can learn to do it consciously. We can step out of time, and then we can step back into time in the past or the future or into parallel time. I've done this for decades, and I teach other people how to do it, to gain first-hand knowledge of situations that lie in the possible future or in a past life related to you and a parallel life you're living somewhere else. The phrase imaginal realm in my subtitle refers to a space between time and eternity. The phrase I borrowed from medieval Sufi philosophers, the imaginal realm, the alam al-hayal or alam al-mikal in Arabic. It's a place where human minds, human intelligence, human imagination consort with intelligences beyond the human plane and create temples and palaces and schools and places of healing and initiation where mystics and shamans and poets can go and where everybody perhaps would like to go and where the departed on a certain level of evolution make their home. You go to that realm and you're beyond time. It's a timeless realm. It's not bound by clock time, by chronos time. And you can come from there back into the worlds of time and learn something that you can date in ordinary reality, whether it's the future, the past, or parallel time. So I'm saying very simply, if you're a dreamer, you're a time traveler. And whether you know it or not, you're doing that already in your night dream. Wake up to what it is, use it consciously, and life will be different.
So I know that this concept of parallel realities, that there are multiple versions of ourselves, so to speak, or realities of ourselves, partly based on like different choices in life. Is it possible to sort of go backward in time in our travels in the imaginal realm and affect something from the past or perhaps jump from one reality to another?
Well, if we can do that, it might indeed be possible. If we can do that, the result might be that when we find ourselves back in the present, we don't recognize it so clearly. I mean, we look around blurrily because the people we are with and the situation we are in is not the one that we remembered when we left. Because if you change something in the past, then you change the whole event track, and you might find you're no longer with the person you think you're married to. You're no longer in the house where you think you're living. This might take some readjustment. I do know, I think it's possible. I do know this, Christine. We can go back to a younger self and offer, play cheerleader, counselor, mentor to that younger self in his or her own time and help them to get through a difficult passage in life. I wouldn't be alive today in my own conviction, and I've not done that for lonely, sickly, younger Robert. And that's a very interesting area in relation to the time travel available to dreamers.
This is fascinating. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more with the wonderful Robert Moss.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Welcome back. We are talking with Robert Moss. And Robert, before we go further, I know we've got lots more to talk about it and talk about in very little time. I want to make sure you have an opportunity to talk about your website and talk about the exciting events that are coming up in the Seattle area.
Well, I teach in the Seattle area a lot. Actually, I teach out at Mosswood Hollow near Duval, 45 minutes away. That's a synchronicity, too. 12 years ago, a friend said, Robert, why don't you come and look at this retreat center? It's called Mosswood Hollow. I said, really? Moscow to Mosswood Hollow? They'd never heard of me. I'd never heard of them. It's a lovely private retreat center. And in December, I'm doing an advanced training, but I'm also doing a weekend on chiromancy, you know, navigating my synchronicity on December 8th and 9th, which some of your listeners might want to check out. And for those who want to hear me as an author reading for Mysterious Realities, I'm doing an evening at East West in Seattle on Wednesday, December the 5th at 7:30, and I'll be talking about the stories and mysterious realities and reading from some of them. So those are my website, mossdreams.com, has these events and much, much more.
Yeah, and again, that's mossdreams.com, mossdreams.com. You know, Robert, there's so many wonderful adventures in this book and interesting stories. And first of all, in one of them, you talk about somebody's repeated dream. Why is it that we have the same dream over and over again?
Well, there's a hilarious story, the immodest author again. There's a hilarious story about this called When the Same Dream Keeps Playing, which comes from my conversation at breakfast, one of my workshops, with a normally very elegant and precise physician, English physician from England, who says at the table in very bad language, "Oh, Robert, why do I keep having the same effing dream?" And I mean, she's really profane, and she's normally a very polite, you know, petite, elegant woman. What's the dream, dear? Well, I keep dreaming I'm having to do my effing medical exams again, and I took them 30 years ago, and I'm fed up with the same effing dream. Uh-huh. So, you know, I decide that I will respond to this by painting a picture of why this might be happening. And this is the story in the book. I say, look, listen, dear. Imagine that there is a film production company behind the scenes that is making movies for you, which you see as dreams. And they're getting very bored with having to make the same dream for you because you will not get the message or you will not act on it. The message might be you have to get ready for a new test in life. And I lay out a whole picture of a restive, mutinous film crew who are threatening a strike, threatening to walk out. The actors don't want to keep on playing the same effing roles in the same effing dream because the woman will not get the message or act on it. And she cracks up at the table. All the gloom is gone. I mean, there's wonderful, juicy energy. So I made that a story in the book. It's one version of why we keep having the same effing recurring dream because we do not get the message or we don't act on it, and our dream producers are really trying to educate. So that's my response to that question.
Yeah,
I think it's
that.
The funniest response I have ever seen, and I think it might actually be close to what's going on in some of our dreams.
Right. I also love the fact that in your dreams you interact with some famous people, including Jung. Tell us more about that.
Well, there's a story called The Other Bollingen. Bollingen is a name generally used for Jung's sanctuary on Lake Zurich near the village of Bollingen. He called it his tower. He built it his private retreat. He loved the place. did a lot of his creative work there. And before he died, according to those close to him, he dreamed that he was living in the other Bollingen, a retreat like that on the other side of death, and those dreams made him very confident about approaching death. I found, to my surprise, leading one of my journeys, a timely and helpful communication of people on the other side of death, I found myself joining Jung in a boat on a lake, and he's wearing his straw hat, his straw boater, and he's smoking his pipe. And I find myself in my visionary journey with Jung in the other Bollingen. So I simply wrote a story about what I encountered with my Jung, my dream Jung. I'm not 100% convinced it was the individual spirit of Jung, but Jung, as he appeared to me, is doing very interesting things on the other side of death. He doesn't have much contact with Freud anymore. You wouldn't expect that. He says that Freud has grown his understanding since he died. Jung has produced a new book, which he calls his masterwork. It's not the red book. It's the purple book. He let me see a few pages of this possible book, and he let me see the title of the introduction. My Jungian friends will be either shocked or hysterical or both. The title of Jung's introduction to the book he's prepared on the other side is Why I Am Not a Jungian. So I may be in great trouble here with some of my Jungian friends claiming that this is what Jung showed me, but it's a pretty funny story. And there's some humor in these stories. You've probably seen that. And other dead people, famous dead who appear in the stories, include William Butler Yeats, the great Irish poet. I've been talking to him one way or another, at least in my own mind, for a long time. And Mircea Eliade, the great Romanian scholar of shamanism and religion. I have an account of Eliade's transit through the Bardo state to the afterlife. And I'm not ashamed of naming Eliade. He named people in his own stories when he was alive, even when they were still living. So, you know, so this reflects, these are just those stories. In a sense, these are stories exactly as I lived them, recorded in my journals. I've written them up a bit. I've shaped them a bit. I've polished them a bit. But they're basically the raw report of the adventures of a dream traveler in different realms.
So, Robert, you say you're not sure if you're interacting with, say, Jung's soul or not, or whether it was, you know, just more of your imagination. Does it matter?
I'm not sure that it does. I'm not sure I'm going to spend a lot of energy worrying about whether the Jung that I write about is the aspect of me that loves Jung, because I do love Jung. I have workshops on Jung, or the spirit of Jung, or some personality essence that is representing the teachings of Jung. I judge by the creative results. So there's material coming through in these conversations which goes far beyond anything I know in my ordinary mind. Even though I've read a lot, you might think I know a lot. There's stuff here that is just so, it's verifiable and fascinating. And Jung himself in his life, of course, was quite open about his own conversations with the dead, including the famous dead. He drew a lot from that. I'm open to the idea that Jung, through affinity, through common interest, might have deigned to spend some time with me, but I'm not asserting that or insisting upon it. It's an encounter with a possible Jung in a possible reality delivering really fascinating material. He's talking, for example, about how we need to understand collective thought forms and the energy forms of hatred and violence and prejudice and how they've come back into our world, just as they did in the mid-20th century. So he's talking about serious stuff we need to understand today, but it's all carried by me with a sense of humor and a sense of, you know, genial skepticism, as well as, you know, the adventure side.
Right. And in some sense, if everything's happening simultaneously and there are these multiple dimensions, and then it's absolutely possible that you're sitting at that table, you know, with Jung right now, and it's as real as it, you know, as anything else in our lives. Or it could be that it's just your way of getting more information from the collective conscious, or whatever you want to call it, the quantum field. But from my perspective, it's fascinating regardless.
Well, Jung himself said the real is what works. I mean, science tells us we have access at any moment to the limitless knowledge of non-local mind. Question of how much we can access, how much we can use. So adventures like this are a way of accessing, let us say, some parts of the collective or quantum information field and bringing things through. And because they're adventures, because they're so juicy and enjoyable, it's fun to live like this. It's fun to see like this. But there might be something going on which Yeats, with poetic clarity, called the mingling of minds. Yeats reported from his experience that when we are engaged in a certain line of work or study with all our passion, with all our effort, we attract the interest of other minds, of the living and the dead, who are drawn to us by affinity. They share a common interest with us in what we are studying, and they will support us in our work if we're on the right track. I think some of that is going on in some of these stories.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And unfortunately, we've run out of time. I want to thank you, Robert, for being here today. I know that this is the end of a long trip and major jet lag, and you're fitting in a lot of interviews right now. But I love your books, including your new one, Mysterious Realities. I want to shout out your website again, mossdreams.com. And thank you for being here today.
Always a pleasure dreaming with you, Christine. Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us here today. If you want to share this, go to ChristineUpchurch.com. The show should be posted by Monday at the latest. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.